If you could keep your Bibles open to that passage that Jenna read for us in Jeremiah, and we take this opportunity to thank those who accompanied those pieces and song, and thank our brother, Mr. Ray Kerskadden, who is a fourth-year theological student from our Keshe congregation and who is assisting Mr. Gray and Ella Skillen as the assistant minister there, and remember our brother in his final year. Let us bow before the Lord, seeking his face with God's word open before us, conscious that we need his help. Vain is the help of man, and therefore you who are redeemed by precious blood, you ask God to help in this meeting, and if you're not saved, not born again of the Spirit of God, you ask God to speak to you, and not only to speak to you, but to save your never dying soul. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee from the bottom of our hearts that we can call thee our Father because of that union, that indissoluble union with our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the blood of the everlasting covenant, for that sacrificial death. We thank thee for the singing of thy praise and the words of which we have already sang. We thank thee for the one who we sing of. We thank thee for the central theme in all of the Bible, that there is a Redeemer. There is redemption. And Lord, we cry on to thee that thou wilt help in this meeting, that thou wilt end the days of self and of sin, and that you'll fill us all now full of the Holy Ghost and with power. I take, he undertakes, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord, thou hast called us simply to be faithful to thy word. Therefore, help us now and do us good, and we will be careful to give thee all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's worthy name we ask all these things, and for his eternal praise and his eternal glory. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah was one who was raised up by the Lord. He was sent by God to tell the people of their sin, and to warn them of the judgments of God that were coming upon them. He was a lone voice in the land of Israel in a time of great apostasy from the law of God. All around him, the worship of God had become polluted. Idolatry came to the fore, and the people worshipped the creatures instead of him that made them, and the gifts instead of him that gave them. Godlessness was evident throughout the home. Parents had rejected God and neglected their responsibilities, and so their children were being led to follow in their footsteps. Jeremiah was persecuted. He was persecuted by his own people, from the monarch upon the throne and the officials around him, the priests and the prophets in the temple. None had any time for God. We see this revealed in Scripture as God breathed, given by God. In Jeremiah 6:13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. It was a dark and wicked age, and yet it was into this scene that God calls this young man to be a preacher of righteousness, to be a preacher of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a witness for the cause of truth. For 40 years, he never saw a convert, yet was faithful and steadfast in the work of God. And so he was called a weeping prophet. So he is called because he was a mournful spectator of the sins of his people and of the desolating judgments that were coming upon them. And so before us, we have many lessons to glean from the life of Jeremiah. Many lessons from the life of Jeremiah. We cannot but direct our attention to reflect on why it was that the prophecies of Jeremiah were so little regarded by the people of that generation. But let us make that a reason why we should consider them all the more. They are written for our learning too, as a warning to us and to our land. But we want to consider firstly his calling. His calling. As we view the life of this man, we see that he was first chosen of God. Jeremiah was not thrust into the role of a prophet by chance, by circumstances, or even by the pressure of others. This man was in God's work because God had so ordained it, ordered it that way. Jeremiah chapter 1 and the first 5, of which Jenna had read earlier for us, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." It was a dark day in Judah, for God's people had grievously departed from him. And so the Lord required a man to declare unto men their transgressions and to call them to repentance. God reveals to this young man the fact that before he was even born, that he was set apart of God and ordained to be a prophet. God was saying to him, "You have been predestined unto eternal life and to service." And so this gracious choice is linked inseparably to the person and work of Jesus Christ. As our young brother testified earlier, it is in him. It is in him that we are chosen. And all the merit that makes us acceptable to God is his. And therefore, divine election not only appointed Jeremiah to God's service, but to sanctification. And before thou came, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. You see, election is always to holiness. We are chosen in him that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When the Lord predestinated us, it was, as Romans 8:29 states, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so the Bible, the Word of God, rejects every theory of eternal election that is divorced from sanctification and service, and so should we. Because the vessel the Lord chooses may be weak. The vessel that the Lord chooses may be weak. But sanctification is the initial step of divine preparation for God's work. And so, child of God, fear not to heed His call to service. Embrace His will with joy, for He will give you every gift and grace needed to perform it. You see, it was this great truth. It was this great truth of God's electing love that did two things in the mind of this youth. It brought encouragement. It brought encouragement. You see, while this would be a hard task, yet God had prepared him for it. We get the impression from verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He was timid and shy. But these words remind him that God not only knew the task he would have, but also the type of character and nature that he would possess. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah, this young man, he confesses that he wasn't sufficiently qualified as to knowledge and practice. I'm utterly unfit. Unfit for the service. And unworthy of the honor. Oh friend, it's true, God often chooses to do great things through those who are little, especially those who are little in their own eyes. Oh, this wasn't a false humility. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Oh, it wasn't a false humility. And as Matthew Henry states, that great Puritan says, God delights to advance the humble. And as Paul the Apostle was made a minister, for he didn't make himself such, so it brought him encouragement. I sanctify thee. I sanctify thee. And I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. It was God that supplied and furnished him for his work. And so what God calls men to, he fits them for and does it with an almighty power. And therefore these words are spoken not to intimidate young Jeremiah, but rather to bring peace to his trembling heart and to help the shaking hand. That he wasn't alone, but that God was with him. The Lord of hosts is with us. Hence, when discouragement and difficulty would come, that is, upon him, he could look back and say that God had sanctified him to the task, and that he was in his will and doing what he would have him to do. There wasn't only encouragement, but there was also responsibility. There was responsibility. He was ordained to be a prophet. A man who must convey to men the word of the eternal God. A solemn duty to warn, to plead, to exhort. And he must put his whole heart and soul into that office. Oh, we find that the Apostle Paul, as he begins each of his letters, identifies himself. He is an apostle by the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the first one, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. by the will of God. And so he was called to be one. Because he didn't make or take on that role and office without the call of Christ. Take, for example, Galatians 1 and the first one. Paul, an apostle, not of men. Not of men. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And so as a result, he was not sent. He was not sent to carry out any purpose of men. No. Or commissioned by men. No, his was a higher calling, a calling of God. And he had been sent directly by him, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not of men, neither by man. He not only is giving his name to the reader, but he is also informing them of his God-given possession. His authority is not based on the fact that he is Paul the preacher. No. But on the basis that he is called an anointed of the Most High God. He is reminding himself, as he seeks to impart wisdom and guidance to troubled believers, that he is in this office by the will of God. And so can seek and know the help of God. But he is also conscious that he is under the examining eye of a thrice holy God. And so it is with us. So it is with us. We are chosen of God. We are in Christ. This is the grounds of our salvation. This is the basis of our assurance. We are chosen of God that we might be willing vessels in whatever capacity we serve Him. Whether it be a minister. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be a Bible student, a parent in the home, a bus driver, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God's people were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and a term that signifies eternity. Since God chose his people in Christ from eternity, they enjoy all the blessings of eternal life without any merit of their own. Without any merit of their own. And so, our possession in Christ rests solely on the basis of God's sovereign love and not on any work of our own. Understand this, believer. See it. It will humble your heart in gratitude. In gratitude before the God who chose you in Christ. And it will cause you to see that a leading purpose in divine election to union with Christ is that you and I should be holy and without blame before him in love. Not only this, but it will bring you a comfort. Comfort of security, of knowing that because union with Christ is eternal, it cannot fail, it can never be broken by any event of time. And so God's saving purpose is to call a people out of sin, save them by His grace, and finally bring them to the eternal glory He has promised to give them. And therefore, dear unsaved, embrace His grace that is freely offered to you in the gospel. And come to the only Redeemer of God's elect, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was, and continueth to be, God and man in two distinct natures. And one person forever. What else can we learn from the life of Jeremiah? Well, there's secondly his complaining. There is his complaining. Look at verse 6. Don't take the preacher's word for it. See what the Word of God says. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah, he listens earnestly, not worried about those around him, listening earnestly to God's plan for his life, and then he says, Ah, Lord God. He begins to complain that he is unfit and unable for the task. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He does not say that he wouldn't carry out the task that was given to him by God, but he complains. I cannot speak. Oh, he's young. Who would listen to him? He cannot speak due to his inexperience. He feels he doesn't have the ability to communicate God's truth. Oh, was Moses not the same? He was called a man of God. In Exodus 4:10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Oh, we find the same train of thought with Gideon. In Judges 6:15, and I am the least in my father's house. He saw no qualifications in and of himself. He says in great humility and modesty, having no high thoughts of himself, nor any dependence on his own strength. Take Isaiah, for example. Felt too sinful to enter into service. Felt too sinful. Isaiah 6 in the verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Oh, deeply impressed with a sense of the holiness of God and of his own unfitness to deliver the message of so pure a God. Of so pure a God. Oh, we most certainly ought to be aware of our inabilities and our frailties, for then our reliance, then our dependence, then our trust is not in ourselves but in Christ. And so it confirms the truth of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 27. Not that we put any doubt in Scripture. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Child of God, each and every individual has been called to a particular field of service. And often the way ahead is filled with difficulties and dangers, and at times we feel unworthy, unable, and unfitted for the task. Yet we must be mindful and remember His strength, is made perfect in weakness. And therefore we shouldn't let our own weakness become an obstacle to our service. For God, but rather we should recall the words of Paul the Apostle as he was moved by the Holy Ghost in Philippians chapter 4 and the first 13. I can do all things through Christ, in Christ, which strengtheneth me. I am convinced, constrained and compelled, that there is one in here today, and God is calling you to full-time service. And as C.H. Spurgeon said, if God calls you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Faithful is he. The emphasis is on God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. As we've briefly looked at some lessons from the life of Jeremiah, I trust and pray to God that we as God's people have learned something today. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord.